Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you ask for some silence, please. Thank you for everyone showing up tonight. We are at the regular meeting Thursday, April 2nd, 2015, of the Morro Bay Harbor Advisory Board meeting. We thank you for showing up tonight and showing your concern. What I'd like to do is we have one person absent, Neil Maloney. We want to note that, and we have a quorum. So I'd like to call the order and to have a moment of silence and then say the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Okay, one of the things that we want to lay some ground rules down, hopefully everyone was able to pick up a piece of paper of really what we're here for tonight. We have received, you know, approximately 98 emails regarding this issue or what everyone feels the issue is tonight. And it's not to sign another lease person for the Bayside Cafe or to do anything. This is just to have public input from the public. So that's good that you're here, but we're not going to make any decisions tonight. This is a process. Parks and Recs is here to try to see what the public would like to see down there in the marina. It does need some work, as everyone, you know, I think the dredging is the number one key here, and we like to see your input tonight, but we're not going to make any decisions tonight. This is not about kicking out Dawn from the Bayside Cafe. This is not about getting a new operator for the marina. This is strictly an informational meeting, and we felt it was good to hold it at the Harbor Board Advisory Meeting as our first public forum from the Parks and Rec. The state actually owns that land, and they control it. We, as a city, have a 20-year operating agreement right now that ends in 2022 for the marina part only. So we, the City of Morro Bay and the Harbor Department, really do not have any control over what happens between the state and the Bayside Cafe. That's a lease that's in between. Dawn has been in month to month for 30-something years, I gather, if I'm not mistaken. So I just want to make sure that if people are here to say you do not want Dawn to be, you know, not have the Bayside Cafe, that's your prerogative, but this is not what we're really here for tonight. What I'd like to do is we're going to, with the board's consent, move up D1 to the number one position here so that you folks here can start listening to us. You don't have to listen to all our other stuff that we have to do tonight. So does anyone want to... Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Okay, so you're absolutely right, Ron, and I do apologize.
What he said.
Basically, we have to go through a couple paperwork items before we can get to moving up D1 to the number one position here tonight. So one of the things that we do need to do, is there anyone here in the public that would like to discuss anything besides what's on the agenda tonight? And if they do have that, please come up.
There were no printed agendas in the back. So how would we know?
They're online, but Okay, basically, do we have any announcements from the chair or from the board members? Gene?
No.
Alan?
No.
Lynn?
Yes, I do have an announcement, and that is that the Morro Bay Yacht Club, with the welcome assistance of the Harbor Patrol, launched another race mark 2 weeks ago. This is our second race mark that we've put out into Estero Bay, and it is actually in the same position as the old EB18, if you're familiar with that. The coordinates for the new race mark are 3523.026, 120.53.185. It is a large 55-gallon drum that is painted bright yellow and has it has our telephone number on it. With the help of Becca and Matt and the brand new boat, it was a launch that went very well, and we got it right on station. The Morro Bay Yacht Club has races, big boat ocean races, out in Estero Bay a couple of times a month. Members participate, of course, but also if there are other people who have a boat, a sailboat, and would like to race, they are very welcome to come to our skipper's meeting in the morning and go out and race with us. We would very much like to increase the number of participants that we have. If there are people who are interested and know how to sail and would like to crew in these races, they would also be welcome. You can contact me. I have an email address on the website, on the Morro Bay Yacht Club website, as well as through the Harbor Advisory Board. So we would love to see more people out in our races. Thank you.
Okay, the one announcement that I have is that on April 18th from 9 to 3, there is going to be an emergency vehicle car show downtown Morro Bay, between Morro Bay Boulevard, just like the real car show, except these will all be emergency vehicles. The Harbor Patrol will be there, and also the Friends of the Harbor will also be there to showcase what the harbor has here to offer in Morro Bay. April 18th, 9 to 3 p.m.
Dane? Yeah, thank you. Also, along with that, there will be representatives from the newly formed Friends of the Harbor Department. It's a nonprofit. It's just like kind of like the Friends of the Fire Department and Friends of the Library. This is a new nonprofit. They had their inaugural meeting last night, and they'll be represented there to give out information at that event. They will also be at the May 16th at the Morro Bay Yacht Club. The Coast Guard Auxiliary is having the kickoff for the Safe Boating Week. The Coast Guard 47-foot boat will be there. They're working on getting the Sheriff's Department new boat there. And this is just to emphasize safe boating. The Harbor Department may have their new boat there. We were talking about that last night. So we'll see how that works out. So that is Saturday, May 16th from 9 to 4. The Friends of the Harbor Department will probably be doing a barbecue fundraiser at that time. A couple other things there. The week before that, there's a fundraiser called the Pirates Booty Marine Swap Meet. It's hosted by the Morro Bay Youth Sailing Foundation, along with the Morro Bay Yacht Club Junior Program. That'll be $20 a space to sell, and you can call 471-1235 for donations that you want to have picked up. And one more thing, I just want to make an announcement. Summer sailing program will be coming up pretty quick, so start thinking about that if you have friends or if you want to learn to sail or grandkids or anybody coming out this summer. It's a great four-day program. They learn how to sail on Morro Bay. And the schedule for that should be on the website in about a week. So that's it.
Thanks, Dana. Ron?
April 10, 11, and 12. Oh, sorry, March.
No, April.
Oh, good, good. This year. So it's April 10, 11, and 12 is the annual Morro Bay City-wide yard sale, sponsored by Morro Bay Beautiful. And there's 120 or 30 registered sales this year, both businesses and not-for-profits and private folks. And there's going to be a lot of people in town for those dates. And if you're participating or your neighbors are participating, please be cognizant that the city is pretty forgiving about the traffic situation during that yard sale, but folks are encouraged not to block fire hydrants. That's kind of a problem. and mailboxes, because it's a pretty challenging time for the postal folks.
Okay, Alan?
I forgot the Blessing of the Fleet. Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen is hosting the Blessing of the Fleet on April 12th. There's going to be a free feed here afterwards. If you want more information, check the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's website.
Thank you, Alan. Okay, as I stated here, if anyone here in the public, and I would probably say if you're here to discuss the marina or the Bayside Cafe, probably you're not invited to come up here for public comment. But if you're here for anything else, please come up and address yourself and talk to us. Is there anyone here for not the marina or the Bayside Cafe? Okay. So we go to A1, the consent calendar. Has everyone had a chance to approve the minutes from the Harbor Advisory Board meeting held on March 5th, 2015? Do we hear a motion?
I move that we accept minutes. Okay.
I hear a motion here. I hear a second.
I second.
Okay. I hear first and second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. So what we're going to do here is, does anyone have an objection to put D1 up before we do unfinished business? Would anyone like, do we have to have a motion for that, Eric? Okay. So, Eric, basically, if you could give your staff report on why we're here and tell us and the audience the synopsis and how we're going to conduct the meeting here as we go forward here. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks. Good evening, everybody, and thanks for everybody for coming out. I'll do my best to try and seem semi-organized over here. There's a lot to cover, and there's a lot of folks here, and I've got a feeling a fair amount are going to want to speak. Pardon me, Bill, but I'm going to ask, and so because I got a timer thing to deal with here, can I get a show of hands for people who are planning on coming up and speaking? Not bad. What am I saying? Maybe 25? Yeah. So we kind of went through our heads, you know, however, to conduct this meeting, knowing how many people are going to show up and not knowing how many want to speak. So, you know, typically public comment is limited to 3 minutes. We can limit it down to as short as 1 minute if we need to, if there's that many people, unless everyone wants to be here till 3 a.m. So we'll go ahead and we'll leave it at 3 minutes. If anybody else wants to get up, hopefully you won't get too many more folks. I'm sure a few that are going to come up after, and maybe they haven't raised their hands, but so I think 3 minutes sounds reasonable. As far as public comment goes, again, as Bill stated, you know, we all know the Bayside Cafe has got a ton of support out there, but this really isn't about whether or not to renew a lease with Bayside Cafe. It's the fact that State Parks has to put these concessions out to bid, and Bayside and Associated Pacific Constructors on the marina side are more than welcome and hopefully will submit proposals. But what we really want to hear, and Parks will speak to this in a minute, what we're really here to take is public input on what sort of facilities, services, amenities you want to see in the marina and the cafe. On the Bayside side, if that is support of the Bayside Cafe, it could be something along the lines of, you know, we don't want to see it change. We want the same ambiance. We want the same charm. Whatever. Again, the decision to as far as who gets the bid. When it goes out to bid is a different decision later down the line. The folks will have plenty of chance to weigh in at a later time as well. So with that being said, I am going to tie in public comment. I'm not used to doing this. I usually have a city clerk, and I'm sitting in a different chair at city council meetings, but I think I got it figured out. At 1 minute, you get a yellow light that comes on, so kind of keep your eyeballs on, and when it comes on, you know you got about a third of your time left. When it buzzes, if you're not quite wrapped up, wrap up as quick as you can. But if you can wrap up when the buzzer goes off, that would be great. If you support the comments, great. The city council procedures generally wave your arms, wave your hands. If we start getting into a big clapping routine, that's just going to be disruptive and take a lot of time. So raise your hands, wave your arms if you support the comments that are being made. You know, no slant. It's Morro Bay. I don't even need to mention that. Everyone here is great. I don't think we're going to get any bad negative public comment. With that, I'll go back into my staff report here in a minute. With that, I'd like to introduce Brooke Gutierrez. She's the interim district superintendent or acting district superintendent of the Coastal District here in San Luis. And Teresa Montijo, she is the concession program manager for State Parks up in Sacramento. And they'll give you some overview of their take on whatnot and why we're here, and we'll keep on moving forward. And then after I finish my staff report, then we'll open up public comment and we'll go from there.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming out. As Eric said, my name is Brooke Gutierrez. I would like to thank the city for hosting this venue for us. This has been a great opportunity for public comment. The best way to reach me is by email. Most of you have my email address, I'm guessing, based on the number of emails I got in support of the Bayside Cafe. And I would just have to say, on a personal level, being in this district for about 10 years, seeing the support for an existing concessionaire and the kind of business that's operating in the state park has really done my heart good. And seeing you all here has just been an amazing opportunity for me to see. So thank you. I look forward to our comments. What I've got up here is an overview. Most of us are very familiar with the setting that both the Bayside Cafe and the marina are in. We've got a parking lot. We also have some ADA restrooms and an ADA kayak launch ramp at the facility. We do have a new Marina Peninsula Trail that's a boardwalk that's also at the eastern end of the trail there. So I just want to provide that if we need that for a little reference. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go over, and we did have a few of these handouts floating around, but I'm going to go over them with everyone so that way you have a history as to how we got where we're at here. I think it helps to provide a little background. So in October 1991, California State Parks executed a concession contract with Associated Pacific Constructors, which is the concessionaire to operate the marina, the restaurants, the bar, boat slip rentals, and other retail sales. In January of 96, the concessionaire entered into a sublease agreement with Dawn to operate the Bayside Cafe through the duration of the concession contract. In June of 1996, CSU Sacramento completed a concession analysis for Morro Bay Marina and the Bayside Cafe. It was not feasible at the time to proceed with the project, given the marina dredging needs at that time. In May of 2002, the state and the city of Morro Bay entered into an agreement for the city to develop, operate, and maintain the marina for recreational purposes, and assist state to develop and execute a marina dredging and renovation project. In May of 2002, the state and concessionaire amended the 1991 contract to memorialize the state-city partnership, revised the terms in order for the marina portion of the rent to be remitted to the city of Morro Bay. October of 2008, the city completed an EIR, Environmental Impact Report, for the marina renovation and enhancement project. Between 2008 and 2011, the city completed marina dredging with available resources and brought the project to the point that the expired concession contract could be addressed. And at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Teresa.
Okay. Ditto on everything Brooke said. Again, I'm Teresa Montijo, and I'm with California State Parks, the concessions program. I just want to explain that concession contracts, they're partnerships, they're public-private partnerships, and the definition or purpose of a concession contract is to enhance park visitor recreation and educational experience. So normally through concession contracts, we're able to provide the public and park visitors with products and services that state park or government employees wouldn't otherwise provide. We have 205 concession contracts throughout the state of California. They range from, you know, equestrian trail rides to rental of aquatic recreation equipment to running entire lodges and hotels and conference centers, restaurants, you name it. We probably have a concession for it somewhere in the state. But concession contracts are governed by the Public Resources Code, and Public Resources Code Section 5080.05 states very clear that the law is a law, and it states that any concession contract that occupies state park property more than 2 years is required to be advertised for competitive bid. That obviously has not taken place here for the marina and the restaurant. The contract, as Brooke mentioned, was actually, it's with Associated Pacific Constructors, and it's to cover everything, but they sublet the Bayside Cafe to a Bayside Cafe operator. So because of that, here we are now in, we're here today for the public input meeting on how the request for proposals would be defined for this operation. To back up a bit, though, in July of 2013, the state had to receive legislative approval for this project because the gross sales are over $500,000. So that same statute in the Public Resources Code also states that Department of Parks and Recreation cannot advertise a concession project for competitive bid without legislative approval if they're over $500,000 of facility improvement needs or revenue generated on the property. So we did get that approval, and that within that approval, we also committed to have a second economic analysis of the operation to determine whether it was economically feasible to put it out for competitive bid. We're not going to advertise something for competitive bid that's not economically feasible. Nobody's going to bid on it. So we had to get it to the point. It took all these years from 1993 to now to get it to the point where the consultant May 2014 did determine that it was economically feasible and produced the report, looks like this, economic analysis for Morro Bay State Park Cafe and Marina. And it provided a number of different alternatives for both the city and state parks to consider in how we package this opportunity for public or competitive interest. One of the other reasons why we are here partnering with the city of Morro Bay for this public input is because right now there's one contract, and that one contract covers both operations, a state-controlled operation and the operation that's been delegated to the city. So it's really a city-controlled operation, meaning the marina. And what we're looking at doing is splitting that into two separate contracts in the future through this competitive bid process, to where the state would contract directly with the operator of the restaurant, the city would contract directly with the operator of the marina. It may be the same party, but if it's the same party, they would have two separate contracts. So that's why it was most efficient for us to partner and have this public input opportunity, so the advisory board and the city as well as state can all hear what your input is on both projects. We plan on putting them out to bid together on the same timeline. So what does a concession request for proposals look like? What we're looking at is probably around the fall of this year, 2015, we would advertise two projects for competitive bid. The process is about 6 months long. From the time we advertise it, we would then have what's called a pre-proposal meeting, where we invite potential interested parties, including the incumbents, to attend a meeting where we explain how they can submit a proposal, what their proposal can look like so that it's successful. So we go over the whole process of writing a proposal with potential bidders. Then there's a question and answer period, a written question and answer period where people can ask questions about the RFP. Through that Q&A, the RFP could be changed. And once we respond to any questions, then there's a period of time, usually a few months, where interested parties could submit bids. We have a cutoff date, and then the director, if we have multiple proposals for the restaurant and multiple proposals for the marina, well, the marina portion would follow the city's process, but we anticipate they'll be similar. So there would be award boards appointed, and for the restaurant portion, that one would be subject to a contract award board to review proposals. The city's process, again, could be different. The city is not required to adhere to what I'm telling you about the state's process for the restaurant portion. But for the restaurant, the process has an award board. They review the proposals. They score and make a recommendation to the director of the department on which proposal most met the criteria that was put out in the RFP. And that brings us to today, tonight, why you're here. You're here to help us write that criteria. The criteria we write is going to consider the input that we get here today. And so it's pretty much reinforcing what you've been told by Eric and the advisory chair here, that your input is important. But to make it relevant, you're going to tell us, state what you want to see for the next 20 to 30 years. Because this contract, the contract for the restaurant will be no less than 10 years, no greater than 20. The marina is likely to be a 30-year contract. So the marina contract will extend, actually, beyond our operating agreement with the city. So between the city and the state, collateral to this process, we will be negotiating changes as well to our operating agreement so that it conforms to the new contracts. So again, this isn't really a Q&A. I hope I've given you enough information that you feel that you can give some relevant input to the process, and we welcome your input now, I mean after Eric gives his presentation.
Thank you, Teresa. Okay, Eric?
Yeah, thanks, Teresa. So you covered a lot of ground I was going to cover. I'm going to go, since I'm not the cafe guy, I'm the marina guy, I'm going to back up a little bit and do a quick bit of background on the marina operation. Back in the early 2000s, we entered an operating agreement with State Parks to operate and oversee the Associated Pacific concession with the aim of spearheading the effort to get permits and fund and put together a dredging and renovation project and do EIR reports and go through the whole nine yards. We did that due primarily because of the very high cost of dredge material disposal. We couldn't dispose of it in the ocean and near shore because it's too silty and too much mud. We had to go upland with it, and it drove the cost from an initial, I want to say about $4,000 to $6,000 was the initial cost. If it could have been $4 million, there you go, $4 million. If it could have been a relatively normal in the nearshore environment disposal to a $21 million project. And at that point, there was no way we were going to make those dots connect. We had about $2.5 million in funding from the Department of Boating Waterways and grants that we expended to do what dredging we could that we did back in 2012, and pretty much expended all the money we had between the concession contract payments and the grants, and dredged about 33,000 cubic yards out of about 90-some-odd thousand that needed to be dredged. So we've been trying to figure out ways to get other grant funding or get the regulators to give us some break on where we can dispose of this material, but we're stuck behind this eight ball of high cost of dredge material disposal. And dredging that marina, as you know, if you're a boater, it's pretty important to making that marina a viable place. Some of you, if you're boat owners out here, you're stuck in that marina and can't get out in some tides, and there's probably a couple boats in there that can't get out in any tides because there's just too much silt in there. So we're kind of trying to reinvent how we're going to go about cracking the nut and getting to the point where we can get a new concessionaire agreement going that's viable and on a long-term basis and not on a 20-year series of month-to-month renewals. So we're receiving this public comment here tonight. Again, the purpose of our meeting is to solicit input on the ideas to be considered on the creation of this bid package or request for proposals on both the marina side and the cafe side. As Teresa said, we're running them on parallel courses. Our process for the marina is going to be very similar to the state. We'll put together a review board. We'll probably vet it through the Harbor Advisory Board and eventually goes to the city council. So it'll be a very similar process, and we'll take all the input we receive and craft that into the bid package and hopefully come out with the best product we can. And again, the marina is the big financial nut to crack. Hopefully we can get a package together that looks at the reality of 30 years of a lease over the cost to do all these improvements that need to get done, and in the end we get a nice new lease contract. And again, I hope that APC and Don at Bayside put in proposals because they're absolutely encouraged to and should. So we'll see where we end up going here sometime. What, this fall maybe we're looking at putting out that bid package. So with that, we'll start taking public comment. Again, I'll try and run this timer in a professional fashion, but limited 3 minutes. And when you get the yellow light, start summing up. And anything to add, Teresa?
I just want to add one thing about the state's process. I mentioned that proposals are scored, so let's say there's 100 points. And then there's different categories of the proposals. Normally there's like an operations plan, an interpretive plan, and the rent and facility plan, and each experience and each one of those are assigned a maximum amount of points. And I just want to add here that there are what's called incumbent points. So one of the advantages of an incumbent coming into the process is they normally have the potential of having 5 points above any competitor that no competitor can get. So I just want to add that you might speak to that or give input about that, but the process does give a consideration to an incumbent above and beyond the competitors.
And I'm going to just ask or add one more thing. There's a few people standing. Does anybody need more chairs? Or is there any infill we can do? Anybody need more seats? I'm happy to pull some more out. If you got an empty seat next to you, yeah, raise your hand. Do we need some more? Well, we're giving public comment. Mind if I quietly try and pull some more chairs out?
Okay, one of the things I would like to do, since a lot of people we've received in support of Don, I would like to invite Don up to speak first, and maybe she can address some of the concerns of the other audience members. So, Don, are you ready to speak?
No.
Oh. Could you come up here, please? And state your name and your question.
It's just a quick question. My name is Barbara Carlson. I live in Morro Bay. The question is, I can put my glasses on. Who is the Pacific Group? I know they're the concessionaire, but who?
They're a consulting firm, from what I understand, that wrote the financial analysis that is in the agenda that you saw on the website. Is that correct, Teresa?
Yeah, they're
a private consulting firm, and they came out here. They met with the city. They met with Eric. They've met with State Parks paid them to conduct the study. And then their draft study was reviewed by both the city, by Eric of the City Harbor, City of Morro Bay, as well as our staff.
So that started in 1991.
No. This was 2014. I'm sorry. The Pacific Group? Are you talking about Associated Pacific Constructors?
Oh, okay. It's different then.
Yes.
Associated Pacific
okay.
Constructors, the concessionaire. Pacific Group in 2014 conducted a financial analysis.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Don? Could you state your name and please?
Yes, my name is Dawn Borst. I'm very nervous about speaking in public, and I have a friend and colleague, Dr. Kevin Toma, and his wife, Diane. And if I can't talk, Kevin's going to come up and finish my speech.
Okay.
I'm going to try. Hello, my name is Dawn Borst, and I'm the owner, creator, and guardian of the Bayside Cafe. I started the cafe 30 years ago in 1985 as a walk-up window, trying to figure out what the Morro Bay public wanted in the way of food and ambiance. It has grown into what it is today, a very well-known fixture in our beautiful state park campground. The campers are always pleasantly surprised, and they praise us excessively for not being your expected state park concession. They continue to return knowing that they can take time out from their barbecuing for a warm welcome greeting, great casual atmosphere, food and service. We have become a staple for local customers too, and their continued loyalty is what has helped the cafe to continue to grow into the success that it is today. The reason the Bayside Cafe is so very successful is because of consistently good food, the welcoming and competitive service, the same owner and management for 30 years, and last but not least, the ambiance. The Bayside Cafe has a unique, beachy, old-style California look, small and quaint building, and has attracted photographers, painting clubs from all over the map to capture this classic piece of California history on canvas and in photos. Our goal, along with State Parks partner, has been to retain the integrity of the setting and to avoid any physical changes that would end up creating a visual loss to the park, the city, and to our patrons. I have the 30 years of experience in creating the very special place, and my hope is that you, along with countless others, would like to see it stay exactly as it is, a unique, nostalgic community landmark. I hope that I continue to have the opportunity to be the guardian and keeper of what I have created with the community in mind for a very long time into the future. To change the footprint in any way would take an enormous effort in coastal permitting and construction, cost and delays, which could take more than 2 years. This relates to revenue losses for both the state and the city of Morro Bay. On that note, I have a few comments to make regarding the staff report. There are only four. On page 8, and I don't know if you all need to look at them or turn to it. If you don't, I'll just keep going. On page 8, the consultant refers to, in his quote, two trailer pads directly behind the cafe, which are currently occupied with two small mobile homes and could become additional income for the concessionaire, unquote. This statement isn't exactly correct. There is only one mobile home and pad, and I own the trailer. It's not state park property. That's just a statement. Number two, on page 13, the consultant is attempting to compare three other Morro Bay restaurants to Bayside Cafe in his dialogue. Although these three restaurants are successful and longstanding businesses in our community, I don't believe that Bayside Cafe can be compared to any or them in particular, because Bayside Cafe is unique in itself and should be considered as one of the last true beach cafes on the Central Coast. On page 21, the consultant states that no structural improvements were needed to the cafe, but that some ADA improvements would be relatively limited, and I agree with his assessment on this part. On page 24, the consultant talked about increasing revenue by opening for dinner six nights instead of four nights. I don't believe they have taken into consideration the extent to which patterns of occupancy in the campground affect business. Through my 30 years of experience in this location, the restaurant would not be busy enough for an additional three nights for full service year-round. For those of us who live and eat locally, the months of November through mid-March find the campground at less than 50% occupancy, given winter temperatures and rain. This would exclude holiday weekends. They also wanted the consideration of a full liquor license to increase revenues, which is fair in a larger setting. The challenge of a full bar for the Bayside Cafe is that you would have to remove seating to accommodate the bar. It might be wise to provide a fiscal analysis of the trade-off on dining revenue losses with a loss of capacity versus the increased revenue for hosting a full bar. I do believe that a full bar could increase revenue substantially. I'm not sure, however, with the extremely high cost of this license, which could be up to as much as $150,000 or more, that it would make good business sense to pursue this avenue at this time. On another suggestion they made was to be available for large groups and banquets. While this is another great suggestion for increased revenues, the building as it is now is not large enough for this avenue to be pursued. I'm almost done. I'm aware that the objective of State Parks is to maximize income contributions of the property, and I have done just that. I have gone from a hamburger stand to a successful, cherished restaurant that has paid into State Parks Fund and upgraded many building improvements for the past 30 years. I have dedicated myself and Bayside Cafe to being a trusted and valued partner with State Parks, and I would love the opportunity to continue in this manner for many years to come. I ask the Harbor Advisory Board to recommend to the City Council of Morro Bay and to State Parks to renew the lease with Bayside Cafe and not use the option of sending this out to public bid as proposed, creating unnecessary costs and delays and an unwanted potential for change to our treasured landmark. I would like at this time to thank the Harbor Advisory Board for their time and consideration to this project, and also sending a heartfelt thank you to all my loyal patrons. Your support keeps the staff and myself on a permanent quest to evolve together in meeting the needs of state park campers, local patrons, and world travelers. And to my employees who have come to support me in keeping Bayside Cafe just the way it is, you are all everything to me. I cannot thank you enough. And finally, to State Park, to California State Parks, for their continued support in providing all of us with the opportunity to provide a unique historical landmark that serves some of the best food in the area. They have been a great and supportive partner to work with. Thank you.
Okay, next person, please. Is there anyone else? You could state your name, please.
Shirley Frazier, Morro Bay. Good evening. Bayside Cafe is an icon. It's been a successful mainstay for 30 years. It's received national notoriety as the cover story for Sunset Magazine. It's been very popular with locals from surrounding areas, not just here in Morro Bay, but the other communities, with tourists, with our visitors at the State Park Campground. And it is a very popular place for those of us locals to take our friends from out of town. I personally have been going there for 20 years. It's always busy, and that's evidenced by having a wait list. Having a wait for dinner shows how popular of a venue it is. I think that's much better than having a restaurant that would be half empty most of the time. It's very popular for lunch, too, with locals and tourists alike. Bayside has been successful for all of these years as a quaint, cute cafe with a beachy atmosphere, with both indoor and outdoor dining spaces. Very unique in this city, and in the marina setting, extremely unique. They also have served wonderful, consistent, delicious food for all of these years. A larger, more modern structure would negate the charm of Bayside and possibly not contribute to its continued success. Customers have shown that they enjoy it just as it is by their various patronage through all the different years and different economies. Again, Bayside has survived and thrived. I'm hoping with your recommendations and community support that Don Borst will be awarded the new contract and that Bayside Cafe can continue to be the iconic fixture at the marina for many years to come for many others to enjoy. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. If you could state your name, please.
Hello, my name is Linda Ashworth. I'm a 10-year resident of Morro Bay. I'm definitely a supporter of Bayside remaining much as it is in all of its ambiance, in the type of food it serves, in the people who serve me there, and the fact that I feel like they are part of my family as well. But what I'm really here to talk about a little bit is I've just learned a little bit about sort of the financial side of this, and while I may not know the real details, it feels like what the state is looking for is enough money to somehow help subsidize dredging. And I think that dredging, you have to look at who's going to benefit that. Are we saying the patrons of Bayside Cafe benefit that? I'd say the answer to that is no. Are we saying that the citizens of Morro Bay will benefit, then I think we probably ought to spread the cost of that somehow amongst all of Morro Bay. Now, the way I feel is it's more boaters and the state parks, honestly, because they can say, look, we have this wonderful marina in Morro Bay. So maybe we need to spread that cost across the entire state. But I do feel strongly that we shouldn't be looking to change our wonderful Bayside Cafe just so that is an income generator to help support the other half of this project. Thank you.
Jim Conway, Cayucas, and obviously I'm here to support continuance of the Bayside Cafe under its current ownership. But beyond that, two other things. One, revenue streams. Revenue streams coming to Morro Bay as well as to the state of California. If you change whoever's running the marina, whoever's running the restaurant, there's going to be a downtime for them to get organized and to be able to open up their facilities. You're going to lose revenue during those times. The second thing you're going to lose revenue is if there's any major construction taking place on the site that will then delay that revenue stream again. for the state of California as well as for Morro Bay. And it's a fairly sizable chunk of money after reading the material in the Telegram Tribune article that is coming into the city of Morro Bay as well as the state of California from these. A second, perhaps even more important issue is the environment. The environment. What will happen to the environment if we decide to really do some full-blown development in this particular area? Obviously, the dredging is important. It needs to be done. We have this, not the Seabees, but there may have been the Seabees coming in and doing major dredging in the harbor of Morro Bay as well. But in any case, the Corps of Engineers, thank you. In any case, the environment. Bayside Cafe fits beautifully into the current environment. We talk about viewshed from the standpoint of what we see there, the trails that are out there that you can walk around and see the beauty of nature and see the beauty of Morro Bay in that particular area. Again, environment. I don't hear much being mentioned. I hear dredging being mentioned, but I don't hear much being mentioned about protecting the environment, which is what draws people to the state park, which is what draws people to Morro Bay, the beauty of this particular city and this particular area. I leave you with just one last question. I didn't really hear the answer. Maybe it was presented, but we've been going on a month-to-month basis for years and years, decades. Why do we have to go out to bids now?
My name is Betty Winholtz, and I would like to address the RFP for the cafe. I think what you're hearing from the audience, both verbally and non-verbally, is that we want to keep a cafe as is, and even your consultant recommended that you don't change the building, you don't change the ambiance. So what it comes down to, and I would agree with you that you need to separate the two contracts because they obviously have nothing to do with each other. Acknowledging that, though, you are asking the cafe, as the woman said a couple of speakers ago, to pay into and help support the dredging, which I think is wrong also. Boaters can take care of the boaters. The cafe needs to take care of itself. By expecting the cafe to contribute more towards the dredging means that whoever owns that contract is going to have to raise fees or pay less to their employees or somehow do something that's different. And I certainly believe that all of us know that Dawn has done her best to make it a profitable business. Even in the 2008 downturn of the economy, she was able, through who knows how, to keep that restaurant afloat when there was no tourism, when there was no, you know, locals went out to eat less. So I think she's a very suave businesswoman, and she knows what she's doing. And that's why some of the suggestions, I think, by the consultant were maybe not applicable to this situation, because I think the best is already being done because she wants to do the best. And so keep the contract separate. Do not ask in the RFP for the restaurant to pay for the tribute toward the dredging, and keep the building as is with the ambiance. And if you have to go out to bid, I guess that's what the law says, but you are hearing that what we have is what we want to keep. Oh, sorry, just one last thing. I want to give an example that in state parks down in Old Town San Diego tried this about 10 years ago to bring in a national company to do their concessions and kick out the local. People boycotted. That business went down. The park revenues went down. It was all over the newspaper for years because I went down there a lot. And finally, state parks had to back down and bring back the locals. And I don't think you need to go through that here.
My name is Cheryl Conway, and I'm from Cayucas, just north of Morro Bay. And I'm here in support of keeping the Bayside as it is. If you want cookie-cutter stucco, you can go down to the Embarcadero, and you can see what all the new building down there has done for character. The Bayside Cafe, as is, has character. It has great food. Not something I'm accustomed to at a state park concession. Most of the time, vending food would be better, state and federal for the most part. But Dawn has done a wonderful job. She supports the community, and if there is a way for the city to recommend to the state to award the contract without a bidding process. If not, if we have to go to the legislature, we can do that. Our senator happens to be the Senate Majority Leader, so I think he will listen to us. But I think what the State Parks needs to hear is the citizens of this area, the tourists that come in, we don't want a change. And if you do have a change, you're going to see the repercussions of that with people not going.
Leonard Gentu, I live in Morro Bay, and we own the motor yacht, the Papagallo. We also support Don. Just real simple in the state, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And, you said you had your little five-point section that you, that an incumbent would have. I certainly would hope that that could maybe be raised to 10 or 20 or 30. this is a woman that deserves it. She's earned it. The fruit is on the tree. If you want a conglomerate to come in, like the folks at Yosemite, and you get that the food that's literally subpar. It amazes me that she would not just be a rubber stamp in. So we're in total support of her.
I'm Steve Rarick from Cayucas. I guess the question I have, if the city of Morro Bay can have a lease and an agreement for the marina, why can't the city of Morro Bay have a separate lease for the cafe? I mean, anyway, I'm in support of Dawn. I've been going to the restaurant forever, and I think she's doing a great job. And if there's any way that the state can negotiate with her or do a separate lease. I mean, I'm a general contractor, and I do commercial work, and I have to respond to these RFPs all the time. And believe me, it takes a lot of time and money to prepare those things. You've only got a report right now. You don't even have the RFP. And by the time you get through that, and whoever's going to bid on it, she'll probably end up with it anyway. So let's just try to negotiate what we can with her, and hopefully maybe the city can get involved with the Bayside directly. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Excuse me. My name is Anne-Marie Schnetzler, and I am a resident of Morro Bay for 17 years. And I've known of the cafe before I lived in Morro Bay when I was coming to visit from Southern California. Now that I live here, I have family coming from Southern California, Colorado, Arizona, and Europe. You can hear it with my accent. And they all know of the cafe, and they all want to come back. When they write to me or when we talk on the phone, we're talking about next time when we come and you will come and we will go to the cafe. So what is unique about the cafe, and it has been said before, but I want to reiterate it, is the ambiance. It fits right in the marina where it's at. It is what is special. It's its character, its charm, its originality. It is funky. It is one of the few places in town where everybody can feel comfortable and can have a taste, play on words, of the atmosphere of relaxation that is characteristic of Morro Bay. So please, I am asking the state not to change that. It is a landmark in its own right. It has been a favorite of painters who either live here locally or come and visit. It must remain as it is. Please provide the owner of this business the opportunity to continue on that path. Thank you.
My name is Mary Rance, and I live in Los Osos, but, you know, we do most of our eating in Morro Bay because there's not much in Los Osos. So I think we should leave Don's business as it is, although when you do write the RFP, You know, that everybody wants it to be left as it is, if you haven't figured that already out. But I would like Dawn to have at least the flexibility to be able to expand the outdoor seating if she wishes, or to do some minor improvements to facilitate the amount of usage. I also want to make the comment that, as everyone knows here, if it weren't for the locals during the winter, a lot of these restaurants cannot stay open. And we've seen a lot of our favorite restaurants go out of business because of the low usage during the winter. However, that's changing. I'm finding that the amount of visitors that are coming to Morro Bay, and you probably know that too, we're getting more hotel business during the winter. And I can't park in front of my favorite restaurants anymore in the winter like I used to. So we know that, you know, the business is increasing. So when you do write the RFP, I'm very much in favor for letting Dawn just take the lease, but also give her the flexibility to do what she needs to do to keep all of the visitors and locals happy and to expand if she needs to. And then I'd also like to talk about the harbor, if I can. I did a...
In what respect in the harbor?
The
marina?
The marina.
Okay.
Okay. I did a market feasibility study for Morro Bay Marina for Stan Trapp before he completely rebuilt his business. And one of the things he asked me to do was to take a look at the slips, the number of slips there were in the harbor and what the potential was for increasing the number of slips. And I know this is a bad place, and I know that dredging is extremely expensive along that along the harbor. So the ability to dredge that and be able to environmentally dispose of that dredge material somewhere, it's going to be difficult. So when the RFP goes out for that, it will be very interesting to see if the people who propose on that RFP, if they could expand slightly the number of slips based upon what the dredging is, and see if that would slightly increase the revenues so that it could be used for dredging. Also, there are a lot of other ancillary uses that could be put in that area, such as those paddleboard rentals, other types of rentals. This is a very popular state park for families, and there's not a whole lot for the kids to do that's safe. And this area seems to be something, maybe paddle boats, those, you know, the ones that you paddle yourself, some other types of uses like that, which might be able to bring in some more revenue. So I'd like to see that be considered.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Paul Cuny. I live in Morro Bay, have for quite a few years. I'm an ex-Morro Bay fisherman, and I eat at the cafe at least once a week, if not more often. So I'm a long-time 30-year customer. I remember the old hamburger greasy spoon that was there that it replaced, and it's a vast improvement. And I realized that the body is, you need to go out for bids to make a maximum amount of money. That's the way the government does business. But I think in this kind of a case, this is a well-established home-run organization. Somebody with big bucks come out of town will outbid her and will lose a real nice part of Morro Bay. And I think, as another fact, I used to be a member of this board a long time ago. And you should maximize the income, but I think there is a part of Morro Bay that needs to be kept and keep it the way it is and the way it should remain. You should be able to negotiate something with her that will satisfy your monetary desires and keep Morro Bay like it needs to be.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Debbie Deese. I'm from Los Osos. I've been fortunate. I'm a second-generation native here to Los Osos and Morro Bay. We've seen a lot of changes through the years in the area, a lot of people moving in, a lot of changes. You know, Bayside's been a fixture here for a lot of years, and it's a class act. When I saw the changes that went on down in Avila, Avila was a class act at one time. To me now it looks like something that came out of Disneyland. It doesn't have the character that we used to have around here. We can always have people come in and underbid. A lot of us as small business people try to survive in the area. The rents go up, the utilities go up, everything goes up, and we're trying to squeak out a living. We do the best we can. But with the quality of the product that she turns out, and I can tell you as a fact, I've got a little acre, and I've had boysenberries and lettuce and things like that, green beans that have been in my family for three generations that we've kept the seed on. And I'll come down there with a bucket of those or the berries, and she's more than willing to buy it because she looks for a quality product. You get somebody in here that's a contract type thing, they're going to go for the cheapest products, nothing local, and it all affects the economy, because when you get somebody in like that and the quality's not there, you're not going to see people going. Thank you for your time.
My name is George Lewis. I've been going to the Bayside for about 25 years, and I'm here as a naive and uninformed supplicant, terrified at the prospect that an institution so dear to my heart is in jeopardy. And I worry that the intangibles, such as the kindness of the staff and the care that they take with their customers, will not be given attention during this process. The Bayside Cafe is a place that you go on the best day of your life and on the worst day of your life. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Larry Bender. I live in Los Osos. I want to make a comment on the marina in the negotiation for the new contract. I'd like to try to keep the marina affordable. I've raised two kids in that marina. You know, I was able to afford to slip rent there for a little boat that they were able to play with in the harbor and everything else. And I'd hate to see the marina, even though I know it needs dredging once it's dredged, if it ever is dredged, turned into something fancy and high class and unaffordable for the common local people around here. As far as Bayside, again, like the way it is, you know, so whenever they negotiate, whatever it is, keep it the way it is. And to give someone who, with experience, as much brownie points as we can give them, you know, I know there's certain rules we have to follow, you know, for bidding and all this. And if the person who's running the concession now can get a few extra brownie points, I'm all for it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Marlene Owens. I'm a more than 40-year resident of Morro Bay, and I've watched Bayside grow. And I've watched it grow, and we're talking to something that has been on a month-to-month basis for how long? And she has not once backed out and left you holding the bag in all those years on a month-to-month basis. This is your turn to back her up and to offer the loyalty back.
Hi, my name's Dane Jones. I'm a 40-year resident of Los Osos. We've been going to the Bayside Cafe every week for 25 years, except for a short time when we lost a dear resident at the cafe and it was too hard for us to go. But then once we got over losing our favorite cat, we were able to return again. This isn't just a wonderful local restaurant. It's the place you go for every special event in your life. You go there for graduations. You go there for anniversaries. You go there for birthdays. You go there when you retire. It's the place to go if you live in this area and you want to be comfortable, you want to be with friends, you want to feel relaxed, and you want to be in the most beautiful setting that you can have in a restaurant in the area. I just don't understand why a restaurant is being asked to fund dredging. If you want a restaurant to fund dredging, I think that the state owns one called the Awani that brings in a lot of money. Maybe they could bring some money from the Awani and do that. I'm being facetious, but I just don't understand the connection. I understand it's in the same region, but I think that you need to find a better way to get those resources. And I strongly support the idea of trying to find a way to maintain the current ownership and management. You absolutely will not do better. I'm absolutely convinced of it, and we will thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you.
Debbie, hi, Phil, Morro Bay. And after what Betty Winholtz said, I kind of fear there would be a boycott if you did change it. I think the emotion here is quite evident. And in a larger issue, I think that we're really looking at preserving what brings locals to live here. I've been here for 40 years. And you remove one little piece of the whole, and it can change more than you can ever know. And I look at the inn at Morro Bay. I used to go there with a lot of other locals. They decided to go 5-star. One of the staff members told me they went through a number of chefs and managers, and now it's not so much a go-to place for locals. So I think it's easy to underestimate what the impact of a change can be. And I think more importantly, we need to look at what our home is for the locals as well as generating income. And I would say with Dawn's history, at least 10 points, 15 points. I mean, she should be rewarded for such longevity because it is a special place. And you have the power to preserve what we love or to look at something that may not be as important or maybe something that could creatively be changed or solved another way. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Marcia Page, and I'm a 26-year resident of Los Osos. And it's a little emotional for me. I would like to honor your request to say I'd like something like Bayside Cafe, or I'd like something that, you know, has zombie, but I can't because I want it to be Bayside Cafe. And ever since I heard about this a couple of days ago, and I'm not publicly an emotional person, honest, but I just can't imagine my life without that there. My husband spoke earlier, and our kids grew up there and had so many experiences, and other people have spoken about celebrating everything there, including the passing of both my parents. It's just the place. It's in your heart. And so please don't change that. Let Bayside Cafe stay. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is John Steinbrenner. I live in Cambria, almost Pines by the Sea. But I tell you, of the towns around this, Morro Bay is one of my strong favorites. I really like Morro Bay. I love the walk to the rock. But most of all, I love the cafe. It has everything that I wanted. Okay, I'm retired. I was in the food business for 35 years, so I've been to a few restaurants in my lifetime. But this one takes the cake. It has good food, excellent help, wonderful ambiance, and a sharp manager. And I cannot say anything more than that, but just we got to do something to keep it going just like it is, because it's a bulwark here in this town. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Casey Caldwell, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay and a great patron of the Bayside Cafe. I, too, miss my old cat. I don't think that anyone would argue that Dawn should continue to run the Bayside Cafe. We all love her. We love the staff. We love the food. We love the ambiance. We love everything about the place. I worked for a defense contract management agency, and I have some understanding of the need for competitive bidding on government contracts, whether it's state or federal. It's a similar process. And although we all want Don to have the contract, you're not in a position to give the contract to someone because we all want it, or we love Don, or we love the food. You have a criteria that you have to follow, and all of the emotion in the world can't change what you have to do. What concerns me is that without somehow separating the Bayside Cafe from the state park, we're going to have this situation come up over and over again. An earlier speaker mentioned something about giving a lease to the city for the restaurant. I don't know the particulars of the contract between the state park and the city, but I think that if we could carve the restaurant out from the state park, if we had additional time for the city and the state park to work out an equitable agreement so that the state park gets revenue, the city gets revenue, the marina gets dredged, and Don can operate the Bayside Cafe separate from the state park's rules and regulations and the laws of the state of California, it would just make things so much easier for everyone. Otherwise, if the contracts are separated, it opens this RFP up to every restaurateur in California and perhaps across the United States. I don't know the requirements. But if it's separated from the marina, then everyone who runs a successful restaurant knows that they can successfully run this restaurant, where they may have little or no experience running a marina. And the separation of the two RFPs is what's going to invite heavy, heavy competition. That's how we'll get a Hungry Tiger or a Red Lobster or a national park type concessionaire like Delaware North. So my request is that we take more time. Let's take another couple of months. Let's not vote on this right away. Let's take 6 months if we need it. It's been 20 years. And figure out a way where everybody wins. I think we can do that. We're Morro Bay. Thank you.
My name's Natalia Merzoyan, and I don't know that I can add anything to the comments that preceded mine. I've lived in Morro Bay for almost 50 years, so I'm well acquainted with what the Bayside was prior to Don coming, and I've been a loyal customer ever since she has been involved in it. And I can tell you that when it comes to food and where you eat and the trust you put in the people that are feeding you, nobody could be happier with anybody besides Dawn. It's just, she's well-educated. She knows her stuff. She's done a fabulous job. I've seen her shop for food, so I'm cognizant of the quality that she looks for and that is going to go into what I become when I eat there, which I do often. And, you know, I, like everybody else I know in town, does not want to see anything change there at all. And she's turned it into a destination place for people who come here over and over again to eat at the Bayside Cafe and enjoy the beauty of the spot there, which didn't happen when it was a horrifying hot dog stand. So, and the place is basically the same place, but the difference is Dawn and her staff. And please, please don't change it. Thank you.
Hello, Barbara Jo Osborne. I've been in Morro Bay since Mother's Day 1994. The first restaurant I ever ate at was a Bayside Cafe. Thank you. I'm going to talk about money just for a second. I get businesses profitable for a living. That's what I get paid to do. And in chatting with people about their business and what they have, I always say, remember, retail is the lowest profitability business you can be in, except for restaurants, and they're lower. Seriously, they're not going to make the money to do your dredging. And there's only one way to increase profits on a restaurant is to serve frozen food, don't pay your staff, don't clean your kitchen, don't clean your bathroom, and many other things. That's all on the money. I eat at the Bayside Cafe two or three times a week. I love it. I don't cook, so I eat out places. And this in Morro Bay is the one that I like. And here's why I like it. The world is tough. Work is hard. You have to pay taxes. You have to worry about PG&E. You have to worry about AT&T or cable or the internet. And I have a lot of things on my mind. And then I have to worry about the sequestering. So then I go to the Bayside Cafe, and I don't have to worry. And that's important to me. I know that it's there. I love it. You can't replace it. Some things aren't replaceable. If it's gone, I will go somewhere else, and I won't find it. Not around here. So please, my vote would be to skip the RFP process and grandmother them in and go forward and deal with the dredging. Seriously, it's really important. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Richard Miller. I really can't add much to the discussion. All the things I was going to talk about have been dealt with much better by Dawn and all these other fine folks. I would like to know if I could ask a question of you. Is that possible? Okay. Well, if I understood what you said correctly, I was in the back of my hearing, it's not that great. You mentioned that the last 20-some-odd years, Dawn has been on a month-to-month tendency of a sort because I guess what I understood was it wasn't making enough money to make it worthwhile to put out a prospectus or contract for bid.
No, that's not. It wasn't that it was not making enough money. It was because of the magnitude of the dredging at the in 1991, 92, 93, which, Eric, you might be able to respond better. I wasn't here then, but it's my understanding, based on the 1996, I believe it was, the first feasibility study that Sac State did, it was not feasible. Remember, our contract is not with the restaurant.
Yes.
The concession contract is with the marina operator, and that's where the dredging issue. So the nexus between the dredging is with the marina, and the restaurant is almost ancillary to that.
Okay. So we're not looking at her contract because it's now financially viable to do so. It's tied in with dredging this thing here.
What I'm saying is that the city has made a lot of progress in the dredging. They've invested. Eric, how much have you dredged what as much as they've used all the resources they can to dredge it, but it's brought the project to a place where it is economically feasible for the restaurant to sustain the restaurant and the marina to sustain the marina, and there to be a plan moving forward for dredging.
But it seems to me like it's unfair to Dawn, and if she made a successful operation out of this, to now lump her into dredging $21 million for this 100 boats and that thing.
We're not sure where that came from, but we're not. The restaurant's not required to subsidize the dredging.
Okay, but it seems to me like she's being dragged into this issue, and really there is no issue with her.
Well, actually, she's being separated out from the issue.
Okay,
this concession is actually kind of being bifurcated out of the marina.
But would it have become an issue with Dawn and Bayside if it wasn't involved with dredging this marina here? If it wouldn't have been necessary financially to raise money to dredge this thing, would this month-to-month tenancy have continued with her?
No. What would have happened is this contract would have gone out for competitive bid back in 1993.
Okay, but they decided to continue it because of the dredging.
Because our contract's not with the restaurant. Our contract's with the marina, and the marina has the burden with the dredging.
Maybe I just missed the financial the details.
It's really complicated. It's okay. It's hard for us to understand.
I hate to see Dawn get dragged into something that really isn't a problem with her and really isn't something she should be subsidizing, or we shouldn't be subsidizing as customers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that wants to speak? Roger.
Good evening. Roger Ewing, proud Morro Bay citizen. I've been observing Morro Bay politics for 25 years. And in all that time, I have never seen this hall packed speaking with one voice. Not one voice in opposition to why you're here. Where there's a will, there's a way. And there is a way to make happen what all of us want to happen, what all of us are asking to happen. Politics rules are not written in stone. They can be changed, they can be adjusted. Many examples of that happening with exceptions. To make an exception for something special. And as you've heard tonight, eloquently spoken of, the Bayside Cafe is special. It is a jewel, it is a gem, it is quality of life in Morro Bay, and to change it makes no sense. So please find the will. I take that back. You have the will from everybody. Find the way, please, to make happen what we want. And thank you for listening, and have a good meeting, and do the right thing.
Thanks, Roger. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
I would.
Okay.
My name's Deanna Taylor. I live in Avila Beach. The one thing that I'm going to cry. The one thing I'd like to say is I think it's heart. The restaurant is heart. And I think you've heard a lot of people here talking from their hearts. And I'll just give you a little example. Several years ago, my twin grandsons told me, they live in L.A., the only thing they wanted for their birthday was to come visit me and go to Bayside Cafe. And they brought three friends, and they said to them, now you've got to look nice, and you've got to behave, because it's a good restaurant. And I'll tell you, the staff treated them like they were little kings. And they still talk about it. They're 14 years old now, and they still talk about it. So what restaurant do you go to that has heart? And my heart's here. Thank you.
Hi there, my name's Dan Murphy. I have a boat here in the marina. And one of the figures that comes to mind, I believe it was $1 million to get it dredged out to the first dock number 3 there. Is that about correct? Anybody know that figure?
Closer to 2 if you count all the planning and permitting. And for the physical contract, it was about $1.2 million.
1.2. So how much are you estimating it's going to be to dredge the rest of it? I think it was half of it was done for that amount, 1.2.
I want to be careful because we're not engaging in a Q&A.
Let's just say it costs $2 million.
I can't give you that number, Dan, because it depends on where that disposal site is. Onshore or offshore, it makes a huge difference in the numbers.
Okay, but it's possible that it could be a number in the $2 million range, though. That's one thing. The second thing would be, you know, the state of California has collected rents off of that marina for, I'm going to throw a figure out there, 30 years. And now that it needs dredged, they're looking at a concession contract to get money for that. I mean, they've profited from that, from those rents for 30 years. And now that it's time for somebody to step up to the plate and pay for the dredging, where are they? That's all I got to say.
I, for one, would lay down in the streets.
Could you, excuse me, could you state your name for the record, please?
Dennis Cutshaw.
Thank you.
I, for one, would lay down in the streets to save the Bayside Cafe.
Hello, everyone. I had no intention in coming up here.
Your name, please.
Hi, my name is Lori Argometto, and I had no intention to come and speak in front of people. I have a big, big fear. This is really important to me. I have worked for Don since 1999. It is an incredible restaurant, incredible people, incredible customers. I love my job. I love the restaurant. I consider a lot of customers my family, as well as my coworkers. Please, please, do not change. Like a person said earlier, if it isn't broke, it doesn't need to be fixed. It just doesn't. I think it is perfect just how it is, and I would like to have continued employment without any downtime. I see if someone else comes in here, there will be a considerable amount of downtime. And I can't afford that. I just can't. I value my job, and I want to thank Don very much for having me all these years. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else? Okay.
I'm Don Boatman, resident of Morro Bay. I want to address both issues, the restaurant and the dredging. Number one, I wholeheartedly agree there should be 2 leases, and that should be a priority. The restaurant has nothing to do with the marina other than the perfect view right there. Excuse me. I brought my boat there in the late 70s, and you've already heard about the famous window with a hole in it. When I first got there, you could buy popcorn and candy bars in that window. And that was only when the caretaker of the marina happened to be in the building. So I've got to watch through the years as Don has built that restaurant. And I can't get over what it's become, what it became when she first started. There has to be a way for Don to continue to run that restaurant. The customers there. I can't describe it any better than the last 30 speakers here, so I won't go on with that. But I think as an audience, we need to be writing Lois Gaps and people like that so that they can speak to you, because you need more help than just us. So besides giving Don at least 15 or 20 more points, like other people have suggested, maybe Lois Gaps, and you can figure out an even better way to keep that restaurant the way it is. On the dredging, I've watched it on and off. I've watched in 30 years, I've gained 2.5 feet of dirt underneath my boat. And I can only go out at 2 foot plus tide right now. When I first came in, I could go out at a minus 0.6 tide. So in 30 years, my boat has got 2.5 more feet of dirt underneath it than it had. The state had the city had a good solution. When Rick Algert was the harbor master, they came up with the idea of encapsulating the spoils right at the parking lot. Build a cement berm all around it, about 3 feet high. He knew that he could probably put the sand, the coarse sand, out in the ocean where we do. But he knew he couldn't put the fines there, just as this harbor master knows that talking about dumping in the ocean is ridiculous. We can't do that. Can't do that. So they came up with the idea of building about a 3-foot berm around the parking lot, putting the fine soil in there, that's what's under my boat, and then encapsulating it, the top of it. You already got the bottom asphalt, and you've got it. It doesn't have to be encapsulated because it's in any way hazardous. It just has to be encapsulated because it's too expensive to haul. Maybe. I think there are places a lot closer than beyond Cambria that fines can be hauled. But the perfect solution was the parking lot right there. So that's all I'll talk about that. The number one, the restaurant should go to Don. Number two, the RFP for the new marina caretaker, I'll call him, whoever gets that lease, that RFP has to contain a clause that you must dredge it immediately. No one else is showing the will around here to dredge that thing. So if you can't encapsulate the parking lot, like the city tried to do about 15, 20 years ago, then the new RFP for the marina must include a must dredge immediately contract. If you're going to give it to them for 30 years, I think you can get them to do something for it. So I tried to keep this not personal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lula Moran, and I've been working for Don since 1993. Like we say in Spanish, shoulder by shoulder, we make this restaurant to be what it is now. And nothing is a coincidence. Any changes that have been made in the restaurant is because it's for a reason, for the building and for the menu. And it is what it is now because she's been thinking about what people want, not what can be made to make money. And I've been there with her since it was not enough money to pay anyone but my husband and me to cook, prep, bake, wash dishes, do anything, and to what is now. And I was going to complete what this gentleman says about why now and not 22 years ago when I started working there, because it was not enough money. Now they're looking at her. It's not fair. Thank you.
My name is Marianne McKeon-Wiedel. I live in Los Osos. And there's a regular customer who's not able to be here tonight, but if he could, I think that Jack LaLanne would be here speaking in support of this restaurant. Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Jane Von Kay, and I've lived on the north end of town for 34 years. It's a shame because this town has become so different. I actually liked it in 80 when people had different things. And, of course, time goes on and we have to grow. I did not go to the Greasy Spoon or the little fun that you were talking about before. And unlike that other lady that goes two or three times a week, I cannot afford to do that, and I actually like my own cooking. But I'm also speaking on behalf of my friend, Haney. She had her birthday there, and of course a lot of people do have birthdays there. And also my friend King, she's a pianist, and she and I enjoy eating there once in a while. And let's face it, how many places in Morro Bay are left that are unique and that everybody wants to go to? Standing in the back and listening to all these people, every one of them said the right things and had something, a comment that was correct. And all I'm sitting there and standing there listening to is dollar signs. Somebody wants more money, and to destroy something that is that unique. Everything else has been lost in this town that was unique. And the one place in Cayucas with Pier Cafe, which was fabulous and equal to Dawn's and loved it, it's gone. And if tourists are walking around the Embarcadero and other places that I talk to all the time, and they ask where they'd like to eat, Dawn's is the first one that I recommend, always. Because I said, you have a choice, the staff are wonderful, the owner is fantastic. I mean, you have to be a fantastic owner when you own a basset, let's put it this way. And a cat outside. And so to take the one lasting vestige of something that is Morro Bay and do something absolutely destructive to it is criminal. Thank you very much.
Okay. Anyone else here in the audience?
Just a little one.
Wait. Okay.
And thank you, too. Thank you. My name is Ted DeMont, resident of Morro Bay, and I'd like to, well, everybody else has already said it, but the Bayside Cafe is special, and none of us can imagine what would happen if it was it was changed in any way. And we urge you to do whatever is possible to give it back to Dawn, to make sure that's what happens. You would be taking something from everyone that's very special and very dear to us if it was to change. And I just can't imagine how we could lose it. So please do what you can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Bob Eisenberg, Pacific Coast Parish. If you don't know who I am, you haven't been out to the Rock in 20 years. I have a question for you, Brooke, and your compatriot there. And I am a patron of Bayside Cafe. My question is, what is the existing or previous cost of the contract that Pacific Constructors has right now? Do you have that? It should be public knowledge.
Not a cost. It doesn't cost us anything. It pays.
What was the agreement with them for the contract?
The current contract pays 20% of their sales to the city of Marina, right? From the restaurant, I think it's 5% up to $12,000,
and 7% over. After that.
And then they give about 5%, 2 to 1. I think 3% toward maintenance, for the marina and 2% maintenance toward the restaurant.
But there was no original contract in 1996.
That's what the contract says in 1991.
Did they have to bid on this contract?
No, that contract was only a 2-year contract. So it's only contracts that have it's operated a lot longer than 2 years. It's not legally, it wasn't supposed to.
Make this easy for you. What are they paying a year? Can you tell me that?
I'd have to look at. I'm sorry, I did not. I don't have it offhand. I mean, I could look it up for you guys.
It'd be nice. You came from Sacramento and you don't know how much the contract was.
You know how much they pay us?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I think everybody here would like to know.
I just said what they pay, but I think it's roughly around $300,000. Does that sound right to the city?
For the marina or the...
For the marina?
Cafe.
The marina portion, I think, has been about $300,000. I don't know why...
No, it's not that much. And again, I'm not prepared for those numbers either, because that's not our intention of being here.
Yeah,
I'm here to pick apart the contract and what the financials are then.
I'm not picking it apart. I just want to make it aware.
I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, because that's not what
I'm doing. That is public record. And again, what we're trying to do is solicit input on how you'd like it to change. And I understand your concern, but maybe you can address this after the meeting. But right now, if you have any constructive improvements or criticisms of how you would like the state to proceed in this process, you can discuss it right now.
Oh, thank you. I was just trying to get some background so that I could discuss it.
I understand.
And
thank
Bob,
you.
I'm happy to, if you want to come to the office, I can get you that kind of information. You know where to find us. I just, not what we plan to discuss tonight.
Do we have any other members of the audience that would like to speak tonight?
Good evening. My name is Dennis Bailey. I'm nearly a 40-year resident. I began here in the marina as a liveaboard when it was still legal to be a liveaboard. And we talk about the uniqueness of the cafe, and it has certainly been that and has always been, for my wife and I, the spot to go to eat. And we still have a boat in the marina. And we love it there. And nice to see you, Don. And in addition to that uniqueness that Morro Bay has, and I hope it doesn't go away, as we talk about the marina issue of it, and I hope it wasn't because of me, but I'm the guy that often careens my boat in the marina and to do work on it. Because I bought this boat 2 years ago, and it needed some work. And it was very easy to do over there and resulted in absolutely nothing that had to do with foul bottom paints or anything like that. And I noticed that in that agenda, which I couldn't find again on my phone, somebody showed it to me, and I can't remember what D1 was, and I think it'd be nice if we had a posted agenda just on the wall or on the screen here so we could make references to it from time to time. That careening aspect, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm totally in support of it, and I can't see any problem with an old nautical tradition of careening your boat. And I think it's in there in the minutes that it's okay if it's an emergency. And, or I'm not sure what it was, but the discussion is, please, for things that don't involve contaminating or buying anything, I think it's just, for some, it's a draw for the tourists. Even it's like, man, look at that boat. And now I've been calling Harbor Patrol, let them know the boat's there. It's not, no distress, don't worry about it, things will be done. And they appreciate it when I let the authorities know that the boat's there and they don't have to respond. Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis. All right, do we have any other members of the audience that would like to comment tonight? Well, with that, I want to also state to the audience that tonight we're here not to make any decisions. The Harbor Advisory Board is not a decision-making body in this matter. I think you've made your comments known to the state, and there's other avenues. One of the things that I would like to, I don't know if it's appropriate, is any members of the advisory board have any public comment to make to the state right now on record? Ron? I mean,
I don't.
Do you have any questions?
I have some questions on this agenda item, and I have a comment on this agenda item as per the intent of the agenda.
Is Eric? Is this an appropriate time for us to discuss the D1, or not?
No. Yes, it is. We finished public comment, post public comment, back to the board.
Okay.
Away you go.
All right, Ron.
Eric, in the discussion section of the agenda item staff report, there's, if you want to take just a moment so I don't blindside you here, there's a sentence that reads, wow, AGP, something very strange just happened to our audio. There's a section that reads, concurrently with creation of the RFP, the city and state parks intend to reconcile the agreement, referring to the present operating agreement, with the anticipated project path forward. What, please, does that mean? I don't understand the sentence.
So the original operating agreement that we entered into in 2002, envisioned a scope of work for the marina, and this nothing to do with the cafe whatsoever. That scope of work was major dredging from start to finish, back to front, stem to stern, revetment stabilization, addition of slips, new slips, any pilings that needed work, basically a major really replacement of the marina and stabilization of it, sheet pile, and again dredging. And the operating agreement went forward with that as the agreed-upon project. At the end of that project being completed, the operating agreement gives the city the option to either take over operation of the marina directly under the state, much like the state does with Cayucas Pier. The state owns the Cayucas Pier. The county runs it. We could continue to run the marina or put it out for RFP. It's abundantly evident that we, the city, under current collection of concession fees from the marina, are not going to be able to dredge that marina anytime soon, and that's obviously the number one problem. So we're never going to get to the point of being able to complete that original renovation and dredging project as originally envisioned, so that as we move forward and figure out how we move forward into an RFP process, we're going to have to amend that operating agreement because we cannot accomplish moving forward under the operating agreement as it is today. Does that make sense? Because it assumes that we're going to complete the project, the city of Morro Bay, in and of itself. We tapped out all the grant funding we had, and we tapped out the concession funding that we had collected over the years. It's building back up slowly but surely as we continue to collect those fees specifically for the marina project. But to get to the current cost of dredging in the upland disposal areas that still yet to be identified anymore because the ones back 15 years ago probably aren't options anymore. It's still going to be in the north of millions of dollars that we can afford under any kind of reasonable revenue collection and grant acquisition. So we're going to have to change the operating agreement as we move forward into the RFP process.
Thanks. So the reference actually was focused on the operating agreement.
Yes.
Thanks. And then to wrap up my comments, Mr. Chair, in response to the agenda item's goal of seeking input concerning the future development and operation of the State Park Marina, among other things I would like to see in terms of the future, the facility operated in a safe and an economically maintainable manner. Per the 2014 Pacific Group economic analysis, the last time an engineering assessment of the marina was conducted was 2002, 12 years ago. Is that correct, ma'am?
What again is your question, Ron?
I'm getting there. I'm asking the state if the representation in that economic analysis is correct, that the last time that there was an engineering assessment of that facility was done in 2002.
Do you happen to have what page that is? Do you have the feasibility assessment in front of you? No, if you don't, that's fine.
Are you asking, Ron, about an engineering assessment, financial assessment, or a...
An engineering assessment, physical assessment.
The original project as envisioned went through many levels of engineering assessment, including financial, at some point, and to arrive at that figure that was way beyond our reach. But yeah, I believe between the years of probably 2001, 2002, when we entered an operating agreement, up through about 2000, whenever we finalized the EA, we certified the environmental assessment 3, 4, 5 years later. That is the period of time in which the engineering assessments were done.
Okay, so let's assume that that's true, that it's 12-ish years ago. So my point is, it would seem necessary, therefore, to have a qualified independent engineering consultant conduct a full and effective evaluation of the marina dock structures, dock utilities, sheet pile, gangways, finger structures and flotation, fire system, and shoreline revetment, and to do so prior to embarking on a marina operation RFP process, because it may have a profound impact on the direction that that RFP would take.
So, Teresa, do you agree with that concess, that statement?
We just found it here, so.
Are you saying on my agreement that we should conduct an updated engineer assessment?
Correct.
Before the RFP? Not necessarily, because it's all relative to how this is framed, but often when we put out concession RFPs, the state's doing it, we ask the prospective bidders to do that. They make the assessment because based on their assessment, they're the ones that are going to bid on they're going to bid on what they are going to invest to get the work done, and the rent that they bid is commensurate with how much they have to amortize in terms of funding the improvements over a 30-year, amortizing it over a 30-year contract term. So we can come up with any kind of, I mean, our estimates are always just that, estimates, but the actual bidders, they need to have the ability to make the assessment.
Are you suggesting that it might be a pre-qualification requirement that they conduct such an assessment prior to responding to the city's RFP?
We can.
It would be, you know, normally it would be our recommendation, but if sometimes we don't have the resources to do it, and even if we did it, it's just our estimate, and our estimates are always going to be up to challenge from prospective bidders who would say that it's going to cost, I mean, depending on, see, for us, normally the concessionaire does all the work. They have to hire the contractors. They have to get it done. We're hands off, other than approving their
plans.
I'm
not talking about the state conducting it. That wasn't my comment. Embedded in my comment was a qualified independent engineering consultant conduct that.
That the bidders would have that done.
Well that's...
You could make that a requirement.
Okay, well, that's good information. Thank you. That's good information. Thank you.
No, we can't right now. Public comment has been closed. Sorry. So, Ron, do you have anything else? Any other questions? Dana?
Well, I could tell a few stories that could go right along with everybody else. Some of these people are my neighbors. About the Bayside Cafe and years ago being a live board when
there was a different operator there, and there was basically no cafe whatsoever. You might be able to get a cup of hot chocolate or a hot dog, but that was about it. Anyways, I think that, you know, besides this being a forum for everyone to come speak at, that the Harbor Advisory Board could come up with a letter of recommendation that the state parks not separate the concession of the marina and the cafe, and then also a recommendation that the city negotiate a long-term lease for the cafe and deal with the marina separately. You know, with the state giving the city those powers to do so with some type of a negotiation. So I think if we were to form a letter like that and send that to the state, it says we were listening to our community.
Well, I think that's a good idea. I think we would have to discuss that among ourselves, and you know, then it would have to go to city council, and then they would have to make that recommendation to talk to the state about that. But it's definitely a path that we can take to keep, you know, the status quo. I mean, the comments that I have, do you have any other comments, Dana?
No, just that, you know, we're here to listen to our community. Right. And
yeah.
So that's what they're saying.
And I agree. I mean, I got a lot of letters here, and I think that the best thing, or the recommendation is simple, and I tend to agree with it too, is Morro Bay and the state of California should aggressively pursue dredging the entire marina, improving the physical infrastructure, and then, and only then, should you be raising rents to be consistent with other marinas. Anything else will simply be a sham and a money grab. In other words, I think that we're putting the cart before the horse in a certain extent. I've been involved in trying to get this Back Bay Marina dredged, and until that does happen, I don't think anything should be done from the status quo. That's my personal opinion. Lynn? Alan?
I was a little bit disturbed by the proposal when it identified a revenue source of putting in paid parking. There's a lot of uses there in that parking lot. People are stopping there to go hike on the trails. They're stopping there to use the restaurant. They're stopping there maybe to walk to the museum. They're stopping there to go to their boats, and I just didn't see how paid parking was going to work for all those different uses. And I also didn't like the idea of a forest of parking meters or a gatehouse with a toll booth. Thank you.
Gene?
Yeah, for the audience there, the current city lease policies allows for an existing leaseholder to negotiate a new lease with the city, and it keeps it under local control. I would encourage our city council to create two separate concessions or leases. This would allow local control, our local council, to listen to our local people and determine some lease agreement.
Any other comments? Yeah, Ron.
If you folks, between Eric and you ladies, know the answer, is it functionally possible or legally possible to renegotiate the existing operating agreement prior to further consideration of issuing RFPs, soliciting RFPs?
I wouldn't say that there's anything illegal other than we would have to get legislative approval to change this operating agreement. So because any area of the state park system that's subject to an operating agreement with a local agency, if that property produces more than $500,000 in sales, I suspect it does, then we have to go to the legislature to get approval to change the operating agreement. I also, though, in response, if I can just comment on some of your suggestions, any area that's owned by the State Park Department of Parks and Recreation, the state, that's subject to an operating agreement, the businesses, the concessions, are ruled by the competitive bid process. So what you're calling leases, we would call concessions. Concessions are visitor serving, and leases are normally for the benefit of the leaseholder, like a renter, you know. But if the intent is to serve visitors to the park, user groups, park visitors, then it's a concession. But that's what we would. So in other words, you would have to own the property for you to renew leases under your city ordinances.
But now, I mean, like we have the operating agreement from the State Land Trust, all the leases west of the Embarcadero. Why couldn't we do the same thing at the marina and the Bayside Cafe? I mean, some similar arrangement.
I think it just has to do, it's the Department of Parks and Recreation is subject to the Public Resources Code, and the operating agreements that we enter into with local agencies are to serve park visitors, not for any other purposes. So otherwise it would be lease. If it was just like an easement, that type of it, you know, leases, easements have different reasons, purposes. State parks, the whole purpose is to make the property accessible and available for visitors, the public, to recreate.
Yeah, Ron.
Well, to identify, or to chat about one of the white elephants, I guess, in the room, thank you for that. That was very, so there's a mandate, my word, not yours, to serve park visitors. So why is there a marina that rents slips to folks other than park visitors?
The marine activities is considered a recreational use of the facilities and the property.
So
boating and everything around boating is considered recreation.
Okay, so it falls under the use, the definition of the of state parks use.
Yes.
Thank you.
So it seemed to me that if we were going to make any changes or at least go anywhere with this, we would have to talk to our state legislature and ask his opinion, whether he would introduce a bill or put something together that if we wanted to have a variance, he would have to be the one that directs that. Would that be correct?
It's public resource code, so it's law that you would be asking to change. So I think it would probably need some legal consultation, maybe on your part, to find out what the steps are to actually change public resource code law. And I don't personally know the steps to that.
It is introduce some legislation to change the law.
Thank you. Gene?
Well, I'm a little confused because the city wants to take on the concessionaires of the marina. But the state won't allow the city to take on the concessionaires of the cafe?
No, I'm not saying that. That hasn't.
We haven't.
That hasn't been vetted by any. I mean, I don't have the authority to make those kind of decisions. I just know that we have an operating agreement. We entered into the concession contract before we had the operating agreement. So we had a concession contract with this concessionaire to run the marina and the restaurant, to do it all.
That's correct.
And it was after that, because of the dredging problem issues and the fact that neither the marine operator or the state could fund it, that we partnered with the city to help with the funding and development of the dredging project. And that's what drove that operating agreement. It's now slowly, I think it's maybe evolving into more than that, you know, over the years. But that was the impetus of the genesis of it, was to take care of the dredging, and then the city might just step out of the whole agreement. But the partnership has continued to sustain itself. So
could the city have a concessionaire for the marina and the cafe, continuing the existing or the previous operating agreement, and then could we then create our own sub concessionaire with the cafe? I'm trying to get back into local control.
Now, what would have to happen is the operating agreement would have to be changed. The premises of to do what you're saying, what you're asking, would require the state to expand the premises of the operating agreement from not just the marina, but to add the land concession as well. That property on the whole area would then come under the city's control. The city would still have to competitively bid for the marina. The marina then has the discretion, the marina operator, as they do right now, to subcontract or sublease with whoever they want for however long, whatever the term of their contract is. So in essence, I guess, yes, conceivably, it could happen, as you suggested, if the state wanted to give up that property, give up control of that extra property over to the city.
Okay. Daniel, you have a question or a comment?
Person in the legislature has to approve it, too.
So I see that we've had a lot of public comment, and as you have seen here, ladies, is there anything else that you would like to talk to us about, or what's the next process? I think we at the Harbor Advisory Board, maybe we need to do a little homework before we make any type of recommendations, or if we want to, maybe you can do that. But do you have any other comments that you'd like to discuss to the audience right now?
No, I think the next steps, if we continue along the line, where we are now on this path that we've started, the next steps are going to be for the state and the city, Eric's office and our office and Brooke's office, all three of us, to start drafting an RFP to see if we can draft two RFPs to give us what we want. I mean, that's where we are. Taking into consideration the public input that we've received today, and that would be the next step, with the goal of having something out to bid by the fall.
Ron,
given that you have made clear to us all that net profit from the restaurant, or from any concession having to do with a restaurant, it is not the state's intention to direct that toward dredging. Did I understand that correctly? You were pretty clear about that. So
that's not our intent to make the restaurant concession responsible to subsidize or fund dredging.
Okay. So my question is, and I guess I should have asked in the beginning, why, under the present scenario or present concept, does the state want to retain the restaurant concession?
It is what it is. It's not. The restaurant is visitor serving. It's there to stay, as far as we can tell. I mean, there's no reason to stop having a restaurant concession. The problem is that restaurant concession is a sublease to the marina contract right now, and it's expired for 20 years. The law says that we have to put contracts that occupy property more than 2 years out to competitive bid. This has occupied state property for over 20 years, and it's never been put out to competitive bid. We're in violation of the law right now.
Right. Thank you. Actually, my question was inelegant and inaccurate. why isn't there just one RFP going out? Given everything you just said, that there is in fact only one concessionaire, and that's the party that's operating the marina property, if you will, in the largest sense, why wouldn't there just be one RFP going out?
Because the
Eric,
city...
Do you have the answer to that?
Eric knows, too. We both do. But go ahead, Eric. Let's let Eric answer.
Thanks, Bill. No, I actually wasn't intending to go there. I want to make sure we rein ourselves in here. We're not here to start talking about the we're getting input on what we want to see. This is what's on the agenda. We got to stick to the agenda.
Okay.
We want to see what the public wants to see, see what the Harbor Advisory Board wants to see in facilities and operation and amenities and whatnot in this marina. We're not here to find out whether we want to start talking whether we want the cafe now or not cafe and start going down that path into a giant Q&A process on the RFP process and how we're going to go down that path. We're just here to get input, and we believe me, we're going to come back with with an RFP as this process unfolds, and perhaps we get our Harbor Advisory Board a little more involved and take some more steps in that process to get this kind of input. But right now, we're just looking at, hey, what do you want to see in the marina? What do you want to see in the cafe?
Now, Eric, is it pertinent here? We have a liaison from the City Hall here to discuss this matter, or has public comment been closed?
You have the ability to open up public comment again.
Okay. I would like to open
it up to everybody.
I would like to open public comment again. Matt, would you like to say something?
Sure. Matt Makowitzki, City Council. One observation I have, and listening to Ron's comments and Gene's comments, what I'm just looking at it as listening, you could, understanding what Eric's saying, that this is more of a information presentation, but as an advisory board, you could make a recommendation to City Council to go, as what Gene is saying, look in terms of investigating this ongoing lease. In terms of having one proprietor, as Ron, you're saying, Gene, keeping local control. So as an advisory board, you could make a recommendation to send it up to City Council. And then as Eric speaking, talking about fleshing out this new agreement, that then you would be taking the commentary of the 150-plus people here and using the advisory board capacity to do that. That's just one observation I see, knowing that I was going to be coming to City Council. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the gentleman in the back, would you like to speak now, since we did open up for public comment?
The question he brought up about the engineering...
Hold on a minute. If you could just tell us your name for the public record, please.
My name is Luke Lothrop, and I have a slip in the marina. And he brought up a point about the an engineering survey on the marina itself, which... I think is a very good idea, because what I see on the marina right now is the electrical has been downgraded in the system, and because most boats have a 30-amp breaker system in it, all the receptacles have been downgraded to 15 amps in the system. Now I don't know why that is, but it's when you're charging or something like that, you can blow the amperage on that. And I don't know if that's illegal on those docks or not. And you brought up that point, which is, to me, was a good point to have an engineering study done. And that's my input.
Thank you. Well, as we move around, do we have any more public comment as we bring this thing back to the board here? So given Matt's... I apologize. Okay. One more time.
Can I speak twice?
Yes, you can.
Okay. This is only more information from me. Generally, RFP... request for project or something, you have to really identify what you want when you put that out. How can you get four or five people to bid on a lease if you don't identify what you're wanting them to do?
So that's all.
Well, I think we're going through that process, okay. and that's.
Anyway, I don't understand.
Okay. And it's a request for proposal. So we'll bring this back to the board here, and given Matt's comment here, does any of the board members would like to make a recommendation to move anything that we would like to recommend to the City Council? Gene?
I'll make a recommendation that we encourage the council to look at either creating two separate concession leases or combining the concessionaire's agreement that would allow us to have local control over the new lease agreement or new concession agreement, kind of a roundabout way.
Do I have a second on that? Or any additions or any comments?
I'll second it.
Okay, I have a motion here and a second. Is there any discussion? Ron?
I have a question.
Okay, Dana?
Yeah, so we're talking a letter to...
Or the letter to the City Council.
To the City Council.
Right.
Right.
And I think is your intent is to generate a little bit more local control, maybe getting some type of operating agreement, the city to take over a master lease or something in that vicinity?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was going to ask a clarifying question. So your intent here is encourage the city to go back and talk to the state.
Correct.
Specifically, especially the operating agreement, and see if there's a way for the city to also do the cafe under
That's
either
correct.
A separate or combined.
Exactly.
That's correct. I'm sorry.
Process.
I
okay. I just wanted to confirm.
Lynn, do you have anything?
No, I remain a bit confused hearing a lot of these comments as to whether it is really to our benefit. In order to achieve local control or more local control, to separate this into two proposals, two contracts, or leave it as one, with the contractor then doing a subcontract for the cafe. And I would hesitate to vote on anything until somehow that in my head is clearer as to how that would work and how it would actually end up benefiting and achieving the purpose that many of our citizens, that most of our citizens seem to want, which is to continue with the Bayside as it is, have a marina which is a functional marina, which it is not until it can be dredged. I just don't know where we're going or what we should do in order to accomplish two things.
I think what Gene was just saying, it was either or, but we just would like to see it in our local control, one way or the other. So if a single...
Without reference
to separate or...
Not
separated.
Recommending
yeah.
A or B, just the local control.
Either correct. Or.
Yeah. Either
I'm
or.
I'm trying to get it back up still.
And then
the
we
council
can
making a decision on, you know, using the local knowledge and the local ambiance that they can figure out, okay, we want to keep this character of Morro Bay. Let's keep.
And let's see how we can proceed and accomplish that as our goal. Thank you.
And I'm going to jump back in here.
Yeah, Eric.
And play my keep it to the agenda caveat again here. If your input, then the board's input, if the board's going to make a motion and vote on a position, it needs to be limited to future development operation of the marina concession. So it would be recommending that the operation of the concessions be a city controlled function in its entirety over cafe and marina. I want to make sure we stay on agenda because we start drifting off too far.
Right, and I think that the intent is that we would like to see if we can, the city of Morro Bay can actually control the destiny of those two sites, the marina and the cafe, whether it be separate or together. I think we can do a better job, to be honest with you, than the state. And I think we need to try to listen to the residents here of Morro Bay and see if we can actually make that happen.
I'd like to include just a smidge input to give you guys a little bit of insight from the state perspective that will help as we're going through these conversations. One thing to consider is, as a state park resource, it is a very precious and special location, and so that's our obligation to the citizens of California to continue to protect that as a part of our natural resources, which is a different mission than the city of Morro Bay will have. So it's important to think about why that location was created and decided to become a part of Morro Bay State Park, to protect the intent of that. The other thing to think about, too, is also the revenues we do get from that facility. You know, we'd be losing that. So you just have to think about how would that benefit state parks? And I'm not quite sure I know the answer. I hear the feelings and keeping the ambiance and, you know, everything we love about the Bayside. And that's obviously very important to me, too, because that's why people come to the park. And it's important to state parks that retains its value. So I really do think that is as important to us. I know people are overwhelmed by the RFP process and the fact that it's a huge, you know, bidding process, and that part can be overwhelming. But that's why we're here, is to help write into the scope of the RFP these kind of details. So just something to think about from our end. You know, we protect resources for a different mission and purpose. Yeah, and something I believe in. So.
Point taken. All right, we have a motion and we have a second. Do we have any other discussion? Ron?
Thank you, Brooke, because given who owns the dirt, that is the controlling force through all this, I think. Number two, as we contemplate, as the advisory board contemplates, consistent with the agenda item, what we'd like to see in the development of the property, irrespective of who lets the concession agreement, whether it's the state or whether it's the city, there's no guarantees without some sort of an RFP process that specifies what the concessionaire's requirements would be, that the concessionaire would do anything that anybody locally wanted to do if they were the successful party. So there's, while I absolutely support local control, I don't know anything tonight that would guarantee that we could predict what might happen with such local control should it come to pass.
Okay, we still have a motion on the table. And Alan?
I have a question about the process. If the city were to assume the entire concession and to sublease it out, or sub-concess it out, whatever the term is, would they have to put it out to RFP?
If the operating agreement was to... Yes. The marina would be subject to an RFP. Right now, if the restaurant didn't even exist at all, this marina, under expired contract, would have to go out to bid, and the city would have to put it out to bid. And the city would have to, it just says follow a similar, doesn't, you have to follow the state system, but you have to have a similar one, which means some type of competitive process that gives others the opportunity for that business to give that opportunity for that business. Now, and then it can be up to a 30-year contract because it's a marina. Where the restaurant plays in, which is what Mr. Doughty, the scenario that Mr. Dowdy presented was, if you had control of all the property, the restaurant and the land and the marina, the land and the water, theoretically, you could put out the same contract that State Parks did in 1991, which was one contract for the marina, one contract that told the public, you have to operate a marina and a restaurant and retail sales and rental equipment and every more than what's out there now is what this contract says they had to do. So you have one master concession, and then that master concession could sub to whoever, sub a kayak business to whoever they want, sub the restaurant to whoever they want. They become your master concessionaire. That was the scenario that Mr. Dowdy brought. But, of course, you would have to have control of all that property to do that. The operating agreement expires in 7 years. So, you know, I guess it's not too early to start having those discussions, as you've suggested, about what's going to happen in 2022.
You know, my intent is always is that if the state, you know, as you stated, they have their agenda, and they you know, whether or not we as a city can even get this thing dredged, if the marina isn't dredged within 10 years, it probably will not be a marina anymore. And, you know, maybe that's what the state wants. I mean, maybe that's what the evolution is going to be, where it's just going to be, you know, filled in a hole. So if that's the case, then all our work to do something like that is for naught. And so that's been my all contention. If we don't want it to be dredged, because it does, and it has to be done quickly. Maybe the state's the only person that can do it and has the money to do that. I don't know. But I think as we move forward here with the city, with the state, and try to come up with a master RFP or a concession, we maybe can come to some different type of arrangement. So I think we should let the process run. But to come back to what we discussed here, Gene, and that you seconded, is there any other discussion on this motion?
Restate the motion, please.
Gene? Eric, could you restate it?
Sure. The Harbor Advisory Board encouraged the council, City Council of Morro Bay, to basically pursue the city taking on the both marina and cafe concessions either separately or together, and re-engaging the state to see if that's possible.
So stated.
Okay, any other discussions on that motion? Ron? Dana? I don't. Lynn? No. Alan? Okay, we want to call for the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Okay, why don't we take a little break here? Thank you very much for all your hard work, and as we continue this process, take a 10-minute break here for recess. Okay, five, sorry. All right, are we ready to roll again? Okay, I wanted to thank everyone here that has listened to D1. We're finished with that, and now we want to go back to B1, which is the Harbor Department status report. What we're going to probably do is we're going to eliminate this. Well, let's just go to B1, Eric, if you could give your staff report.
Synopsis. Well, it's only a page and a quarter. So several things to report on. As you know, there was a proposal for a Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary that went to NOAA. On March 6th, NOAA completed a sufficiency review of that nomination, and they rejected it as being an insufficient proposal. The letter for the rejection letter is attached. I won't go into why. Basically, there's several triggers that need to be hit when you make a nomination like that, and they didn't have the triggers. So we'll be watching that to see if that gets re-nominated. CMANC Washington, D.C., unfortunately, yours truly came down with a case of influenza and wasn't able to go to Washington, D.C. But on the flip side of that, this year, as you know, we had a contingent of three. We sent the city manager, the mayor, and was going to be myself, the harbor director. So when I backed out, we still had two, which was good. So they made a lot of good progress there. Met with Lois Capps's office and Senator Boxer and Feinstein, and good meetings with the Corps. It looks like this year we were looking to try and get $7 million for dredging for in this FY16 cycle. Looks like we won't be getting that, but we're getting pretty strong contention for FY17 to get the whole harbor dredged. We do have the Yaquina coming in their normal 20 days of dredging. I think that starts on May 10th. So they will be here shortly. And they did a lot of good work with fisheries, I had them bring your testimony you brought, Alan, that you gave me, and they brought that to NOAA Fisheries and to a pretty high level and talked about the trouble with 100% human observers in the trawl fishery. So your voice does matter and makes a difference, so appreciate that. Lifeguard tryouts, March 15th we had our annual lifeguard tryouts, had about 25 apply, be hiring five. This year we're conducting our lifeguard training academy over the weekends of April 17, 18, 19, and 24, 25, 26, so that's coming right up. Junior lifeguard tryouts were held at the same time. Recreational Parks will be hiring some lifeguards, or some staff for their junior lifeguard program as well. Vessel demolitions on March 2 through the 6th. We hired contractor Garcia Excavating and demolished the fishing vessel Shillelagh. Long-time boat here in town, but unfortunately the owner was unable to take care of it over the last decade or so, and the boat fell into serious disrepair. We were able to use grant funding for that, fortunately. We managed to get that hauled out at the launch ramp and cut up. Quite a endeavor to do that. Pretty large boat, a lot of fuel still on board that we were able to get off. And then we did a 38-foot, a couple other boats, 38-foot powerboat, 24-foot sailboat, and another 24-foot powerboat, trailer boat that we did under the turn-in program. Total cost, just north of $25,000. And again, that's all covered under Department of Boat and Waterways Abandoned Watercraft Abatement Fund granting, which is a blessing for us, because otherwise, as you know, and especially folks on the members here in the Capital Ad Hoc Committee, Capital Planning Ad Hoc Committee, you know, we don't have a lot of extra money to spare, and $25,000 eats up a lot of revenue, so that's good. Recreational rockfish season opened yesterday. I don't think anybody went out yesterday. As you know, it kind of blew. Two boats? I know two went out today. Yeah, so it's been pretty slim. Fortunately, a lot of people saw the forecast and hopefully looked out their window to see what it was like. It was pretty ugly in the morning, even before the wind was blowing, from the wind blowing continuously offshore 10 or so miles at a lot of chop. So it was pretty ugly, but just to remind people to be safe. We did do some changes to the fish cleaning station, trying to make it a little more user-friendly and bird-unfriendly. As you know, we've had a lot of pelican and seagull contacts there between fishermen and those birds, the pelicans going after carcasses and eating carcasses, which they're not designed to do. So we've done some more modifications to that station to try and make it a little less bird-friendly, a little better for the fishermen, so hopefully that'll work out better. And on March 8th, we held our annual gear and surplus stuff auction. Sold a lot of things. Made about $1,500, which goes back into our harbor fund. And that will conclude my report, unless you have any questions.
Okay. With that in mind, no questions for Eric. We'd like to go into C1. What we were thinking about doing is we'd like to skip C1 into next meeting, if you could agendize that, and go down to C2. And we would like to hear an update from the Marine Services Facility Boatyard Ad Hoc Committee. And that would be Ron.
How much detail would the board like to have? The committee met on March 30th. Well, first of all, the consultant, Lisa Weiss Consulting, published a public review draft report, which is close to the final, for their, quote, Morro Bay Boatyard and Hallock Facility Market Demand Analysis, end quote. I feel like I'm not mic'd anymore. We'll try this one. How we doing? Live, dead. AGP? Hello, AGP. Oh.
You're loud
out
here.
Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, thanks. So we met report, the public review draft report was provided to the committee, to the ad hoc committee. The ad hoc committee met on March 30th to consider that public review draft. So this was insofar as the market demand analysis is concerned, that particular piece of the marine facility process, investigation process, this is one of the last activities of the ad hoc board, ad hoc committee, and that's why I asked the board how much information they might like to have, because we recorded our comments relative to that draft, and we also documented some key comments in terms of the entire process and the data that was produced. So I need some guidance.
Let me ask you a question, Ron. One of the things that we were thinking about doing, because this is, I think, number 5 priority on the city's goals to enhance the commercial and recreational fishing opportunities, and the boatyard is in the forefront, and we have the properties now that are, you know, vacant, and if we wait any longer and these things go by the wayside, we might lose this opportunity. We were thinking about holding a special session on this topic only between now and our next May meeting and invite the City Council and the City Manager. Does anyone want to, Eric, your thoughts on that? Can that be something that can happen? On this subject, given the nature of it, that
we can call a special meeting at any time, given proper notice. As far as inviting the entire City Council, I think the idea would be, now that we've got we need to do a public presentation of and a public debut of the financial analysis and market analysis with the ad hoc committee's input, and then with the Ventral Harbor Advisory Board input. When we put this process together, the agreement between us and the fishermen's organization who have funded it and Lisa Weiss Consulting was to do that public debut in the Harbor Advisory Board meeting. As you know, we've been kind of trying to get it on, but it's a number of reasons that the project's taking a little longer than planned. Couldn't get it on for April, even though we've got that public review draft in our hands. I know the committee's still working their way through it and have got some comment on it. Fishermen's organization as well, and myself. So we couldn't get it ready for April, but to delay any further and wait for May and then try and get it to City Council, absolutely we can have a special meeting for that. As far as inviting this entire City Council, and City Council is always welcome to attend one of these meetings as individual residents, If you're intending to hold a joint meeting, that's a bigger nut to crack that I'd have to talk to the city manager to see if that's something we wanted to try and do. That sounds like a little more than...
Would.
Okay. Because we will get... My envision out of this is we make the Harbor Advisory Board, through, with ad hoc committee and fishermen's input, Harbor Advisory Board reviews the document and has some sort of recommendation to forward it to council for council's consideration and determination of next steps. What do we want to do next?
I think a special meeting, speaking as the chair of that ad hoc committee, not for the committee, but as the chair, I think that that's an outstanding idea. It would give an opportunity for the committee to submit its commentary as part of the agenda package. It would give the fishermen the opportunity to submit their views on the report as part of the agenda package. And the city liaison, which is the harbor director, to do so as well. I think it's a great idea.
Okay, so I'd like to see if we can consensually maybe have it 2 weeks from today. Is that something that can happen? Which would not be would be the I believe the 16th of.
Yeah, that's April 16th.
Yeah, 16th. Is that something that everyone can meet? Gene. Well, let's.
So you and I can work on polling the rest of the board members.
Right.
We've got some general consensus here to do that.
All right.
We can poll the board members after, and then set that up and figure out what the logistics are to get that meeting to happen.
All right. So that's what we're going to do, Ron. Have a special meeting, hopefully within 2 weeks. Dana, do you have a question?
Well, it was my understanding that we are done with the analysis right now, and we would like to get that out to the rest, to the HAB, to Harbor Advisory Board, and make it public. But that way, at our special meeting, we will present, and you will have knowledge of that, and then we can do it an informed discussion at that time, because you'll have 2 weeks to have looked at it.
Okay, so I think what we'll do is we'll poll after this meeting, put together a special session so we can publicly announce it and have the public be here, the people that are interested, invite the city council or whoever would like to come, and that would be the only item on the agenda. Okay? Okay, Ron, so we're going to table C2, and C3 is an update from the Capital Improvement Planning Ad Hoc Committee and their recent activities. Ron was, there's three members of this committee. It's Neil Maloney, myself, and Ron. And Ron was kind enough to write up that we have met. We've met with Eric, and we have met together, and we have four items on our agenda that we'd like to see as goals for the city. Pursue a substantive understanding and review of the City of Morro Bay's Harbor Department cost allocation, which currently is reported to be approximately $305,000 per annual budget thing. We would like to get a cost breakdown is really what we're asking for. We want to pursue a substantive understanding of how the responsibilities for harbor-related property improvements and utilities are distributed among city departments in terms of maintenance and budget. We want to work with the Harbor Department to further develop its inventory of harbor-related capital asset items and equipment asset items, as well as a useful life for those items, and further development of maintenance, improvement, and replacement cost projections for these items. We also want to support the Harbor Department, as may be needed, in review of harbor-related budgets. This supports including pursuit of revenue-enhancing concepts, as well as expense reduction concepts. In these items, we will continue further developing them, and we'll divide the work between the committee members and report back to you folks here in the public. Is there any questions on that? Okay, hearing none. Eric, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, maybe I'll just give a quick rundown. And again, I appreciate from the committee the input I did get. So budget's been submitted to the Administrative Services Director, Susan Slayton. That was due last Friday. City manager gets all the budgets from her. She puts everything together, combines them all from the different departments. City manager's getting them all on next Monday, the 6th. And over the following 2 or 3 weeks, city manager and department head and the administrative services director are going to start crunching them based on what they've submitted and the management partners' financial review that we had back on Tuesday night. Had council had a special meeting where we've got city's got a pretty robust forecasting tool in terms of revenue expense. It's more general fund oriented. It's not so harbor fund oriented, but we've got our numbers that we're going to plug into that program and see what the forecasting is. And then the city manager will develop the budget. I think the city council first sees the budget on Friday, May 1st, from the city manager. And then on May 20th, there's another budget workshop, public budget workshop, where they're going to be going over it publicly and vetting the different elements of it. And then council will hopefully adopt the budget sometime in June before the end of the year. So we have some opportunity between now and then to take the ad hoc committee input and incorporate any needed changes or recommendations into the budget over the next couple, 2, 3, 4 weeks till a point where it gets to the city council.
And I think that we've, you know, the nice thing is I think Eric was kind enough to give us his input and how he approached this and listen to us, and maybe we help them a little bit in presenting a budget to the city, and had a little bit more eyes too to look at some of the line items and kind of take a look at really what we were doing here and whether or not these were, you know, real costs. Okay, well, then this will be the end of the meeting here, and I'd like to ask for a declaration of any future agenda items. I think we do have plenty, so I'm not so sure. Gene?
Yes, I'm looking at the future agenda items that you have written down here, and I see written down mooring field design and maintenance. I thought we already discussed that. I may be wrong.
You did.
So then we can eliminate that off.
That's correct.
Oh, Ron's not happy with that.
No. it's just not my recollection that that's exactly what happened.
Oh, okay, fine.
But although it may have,
I don't know.
Yeah, we did.
Well, I think we did, and you gave us a whole
Gene
presentation,
show and tell.
Gene.
And then we went over mooring field and how it came to be. But yeah, it was mostly Gene show and tell and a bunch of worn down hardware.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I. No, I was here for that meeting. I'm good.
No, okay. So does anyone have anything to add to the future agenda items? We probably have a pretty full slate, right? Okay. So with that in mind here, does I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do I hear a second? Okay, I hear a first and a second.